outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
You, sir, are imbued with the God-given gift to respond to questions that are actually answers with answers that are actually questions.
And you get every single one right.
Yes, you've accumulated a vast fortune, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, with a handful of knowledge and a fistful of buzzards.
You've made more money than Murph.
And you're a whole lot funnier than Alex.
But that's not really saying much.
I'll say. So the next time you think you're smart enough to be on that show, plop your brains on the couch and drop your jaw in salute to Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, a real American hero.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Sorry, form of a question, please.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. Thank God it's Friday, February 11th. 3 days before Valentine's Day.
I'll be working. Yay. Falling in love at my work.
Do you have a Valentine yet?
I've been asked out, but I can't because I can't go because I'm working.
Oh, you're working on Valentine's
working
Day.
Working Valentine's Day. Oh. Generally, I don't work but on that night, but they're doubling up on their hosts.
Oh, you guys expect a lot of people.
So
you can stick it to them and charge them twice or three times.
Hey, we all got to make a little cash, you know? I got to make
but
some cash.
But the food's the same food, the same restaurant,
it's
the same service.
It's a prefix menu. It's actually a different menu.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so you might...
Do you know how much you guys charge for a couple?
I think it's probably going to be per person around $60.
Oh, that's not too bad. Considering what other places charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's Valentine's Day. We usually do around $65 a person, and that's like usually a three-course, three courses. And
Okay, that's expensive.
But at a nice restaurant, that's not really expensive at all.
That's true, yeah. Some places will charge you upwards of $100 or $200 a person.
Yeah. This guy that wanted to take me out, and he said this as a joke, he goes, oh, by the way, if you happen to be free at all on... Valentine's Day, we can go to Denny's.
Mm-hmm.
They're only charging $40 a person.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Denny's is having like...
They're charging $40.
Or maybe it's just a specific location. They're charging $40 for Valentine's Day dinner.
Mm. Really? And who the hell's going to take their date to Denny's?
Who's the hell's going to take their date to Denny's and pay $40 for freaking Grand Slam?
Yeah.
For a Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Like, I'm not paying $40 for some crappy pancakes.
Well, you don't know. Maybe they have some surprises.
You know, Denny's. Maybe we mentioned that it's Denny's. Like, it's just, maybe it's just L.A., but maybe it's just like a crazy town. It's like you go to the 7-Eleven and you have to valet your car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Valentine's Day rolls around. Everybody's trying to get a piece of the action. And why not Denny's? You know what I mean?
There you go.
Why not jack up, you know.
If you don't have reservations for any other place, you might as well go to Denny's.
You go to Denny's when it's 3 a.m. and you've partied and then there's nothing open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know what I mean?
The food is not bad. It's just that it's a coffee shop, you know? I mean, it's, you know, it's not really a place where you go dating. But, you know, I mean, I've been known to be seen there at the wee hour of the night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you're not going to do Valentine's Day there.
No, I'm not going to do Valentine's Day.
I mean, I guess you would do Valentine's Day if, you know, it was kind of a, like a last minute joke kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If it was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Okay, and if you had a Valentine, what would you get him?
Oh, me? Get him something?
Yeah.
Oh. Love. Well, gift giving's not really...
I knew I would stump you on that one because women don't think about that, do they?
Gift giving's not really my forte.
Yeah. But gift receiving is.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really been in a relationship when it's been Valentine's Day.
Oh, really? Or been around that. So you haven't experienced that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that... I mean, this is going to sound bad, but I think it's true. I really do. I think that showing up and looking fabulous and gorgeous and smelling great and being pretty and cute and fun and smart and great conversation and letting him be in your presence is kind of why he's wooing you. It's true. I mean, that women bring different things to the table.
Right. But I mean, is it a holiday where guys get women presents?
I think it's more, I mean, I think it's definitely... There's nothing wrong with it being reciprocal. I mean, if you're, you know,
right.
There's never,
but it's
never,
focused on women receiving.
I think it's more
right?
about romancing a woman on Valentine's, or okay. or creating romance. You know, creating romance.
Yeah. Well, I don't like that.
Well,
Chris Brown wrote on Facebook today. He says, "What women? What are you getting your guy, or what are you getting your other
half?"
Yeah. You know.
Well.
And you know that they ain't getting nothing, man.
But they hopefully are getting something, a little
action.
Yeah,
receiving something.
Well, think about it. You know, you romance this woman and you love her.
And you get some action.
Yeah, it gets some major action if you take, you know. And it's not, it's that should be just like a natural thing, too, like how you, you know, feel towards a person, not because they did that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess I guess if I was in a relationship and, you know, we were really on that page, then I'd probably, I don't know, cologne. What do guys like? A wallet? A new? What guys aren't even that fun to buy for?
Exactly.
A wallet? You want a new wallet? Here you go.
Get them flowers, goddammit.
Guys don't want flowers.
Well, it's something.
I would do something. I mean, I think what if I were to in a relationship, and let's say he didn't make reservations somewhere, which then he'd be in the doghouse. No, just playing. I mean, I think what I would do is just get like you know, make it really sexy and pretty for him, and you know, decorate the house and. Candlelight and shit.
Well, that would be cool.
You know, like create an ambiance. It's more about creating an atmosphere.
Right.
You know, have a little Kenny G playing in the background. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I can totally picture that. Sounds like a woman's touch in that one. Yeah. And now roses become a fucking commodity during these holidays. And... You know, what I discovered is some women actually don't like roses.
Really?
You know, they prefer other flowers.
Well, you know, some women
but they
are,
make them so friggin' expensive on Valentine's Day.
Really?
You know, it's obviously all supply and demand, but, I mean, yeah, it can cost you over $100 for a dozen roses easily.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell, you know? There's no proportion here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the biggest thing is like, you know, there needs to be a lot of... effort made, but then it needs to be genuine on both ends.
Well,
right?
yeah, but I mean, women expect it, you know. So if you want a dozen roses and you spend over $100, and then you go out to dinner, you go out to dinner, you spend another couple $100, and it's $300-$400.
You're right,
just
that's
for
ridiculous.
Valentine's
but
Day,
let me just
you know,
say,
and women expect it from men.
Yeah, but you know, here's what I think. I think what women ultimately are looking for in that stuff is they're looking to be made to feel extremely special.
Right.
And very beautiful
and desired.
And, you know, it says, you know, women really want their beauty to be enjoyed. It's one of the biggest things that women love is they want that to be celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. From the inside out, not just physical. So I think if a man can achieve those results without having to do that, that's just as good.
Mm.
I'm not talking Denny's.
Yeah.
But what if you, you know, cooked at home and, you know, lit some candles and put on some music and... You know, or a nice picnic somewhere. I don't know. Like I could think of ideas for guys if they're a little bit on the broke side. You know, you can always get a romantic movie and do the at home thing. And
but it depends who the woman is. You know, I mean
you don't want to be with you don't want to be with a gold digging woman anyway.
Well, right.
So if she's gonna be like, well, that's in our frickin' Spagos, then you need to like kick her to the curb anyway, because that's not right. I think it's just making her feel very, very special. And if a guy just doesn't have the money, I really don't think there's anything... I mean, hopefully by this point, if you're asking her out on Valentine's Day, you guys are already in a relationship. So she probably already understands if you're packing financial heat or not.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
If
it's like a first date, you do kind of need to do that because...
Right.
if it was a first date and a guy said, hey, I want to cook you some tuna casserole and watch... Sleepless in Seattle.
yes.
I'd be like, you know what? Let's just don't.
Yeah,
because it just feels very budget. It just feels budget.
God.
You know what I mean?
You see, that's what I'm saying.
It's the first date. You can't do the first date tuna casserole sleepless in Seattle on Valentine's Day. It's about making a little effort. You know, hopefully by this point, if you're in a relationship, she's already seen your effort you've made. So then when you do Valentine's Day, it's about really creating that ambiance, that atmosphere, and making her feel a certain way.
Okay.
And men...
as long as we acknowledge it's about women and not about guys.
But,
you know?
But women, let me tell you how women respond, though. Women will be as sexy as you make them feel.
Right.
And women will be as loving as you kind of open them up to that, you know?
Yeah.
So if you want a real loving, sexy woman, I mean...
Okay. We've got two phone calls here, and one has to be our guest, I think. I just have to guess which one it is. Let me try this one. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead. Hello?
Well, there
okay,
you go.
They're not answering. Let's try this one. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, okay. Oh, I realized I had my volume down. I just hung up on our guest. Damn.
Uh-oh. You want me to go?
No, Chris, can you call us?
It's Chris Brown. It's Chris Brown.
It is Chris Brown. Chris, can you call us like in about 15 minutes or so, 20
sure.
minutes? Wonderful, because I'm waiting for the guest to call.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, Chris. Bye. Yep. Yeah. You know what? My volume was down, and I probably just hung up on our guest. Go ahead and call back in. I'm sorry about that. Wow, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, too much going on here on Friday. By the way, we got to break the news that Hosni Mubarak has stepped down in Egypt.
Wow.
And that's after a speech he made yesterday that he said he's not going anywhere.
Oh,
but,
he did?
Yeah.
Look at him on top of it. So he told everybody, screw that, I'm not leaving. And then yesterday he stepped down?
Yeah. No, today he stepped down, yeah. And finally felt the pressure and knew that he better leave or else, you know. So, I mean, this is like...
your country is having riots because they want you out of power.
Right. Yeah.
Is that just not a big enough clue that maybe this isn't a good
No,
time?
Because, you know, when they're dictators, they don't know anything else. That's what they know is how to suppress. You know, and that's what they do. They don't pay attention to anyone. He said yesterday in his speech that he doesn't care about people not or people telling him to leave that are outside of Egypt. And, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do, blah, 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 blah. So finally, though, the pressure has prevailed and he stepped down. So let's go ahead and take our call here. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead.
This is Stuart Diamond.
Yes, Stuart. Did I just hang up on you a couple minutes ago?
Yes, you did.
Okay, I'm so sorry, man. I had my volume down, and I didn't realize that you were there on the other end. So please accept my apology there. Stuart, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. I see.
Wow.
Where there's more snow than in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
We're super jealous.
Just a little bit more snow. Stuart, you're a professor at Wharton, right? Are you still working there, or is that something
yes,
in your past?
Yes, that's where I'm calling you from.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I just finished a class on negotiation, came upstairs, and here I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you sent us the book called Getting More, How to Negotiate to Achieve Your Goals in the Real World. And I started reading this, and I found it fascinating because you're taking a different angle on negotiation, and you're telling us that the time-worn methods do not work.
That's exactly right. That I've taught 30,000 people in 45 countries over 20 years and run my own businesses, and I have found that that emotions and perceptions, that finding out their emotions and perceptions is much more important in getting agreement than the usual collections of threats, power plays, leverage, walking out, my way or the highway, logic, and so forth, that it reaches four times as much value as the traditional way of dealing with others, that people are much more interested in doing what you want, six times more, in fact, when you
really?
Make a human connection with them.
Wow. So it's not really about being rational, but you're saying more, addressing the emotions.
That's exactly right. When the more important the negotiation is to the parties, the less rational people are. And that means world peace, a $1 billion deal, or my kid wants an ice cream cone. And so talking about rationality when they raise your taxes and you're worried about your vacation or your mortgage is useless. Right. What I want to know is I want to feel better. I want you to make some concession to me. I want you to apologize to me. I want you to give me some kind of emotional payment and tap into where I'm coming from. And there, probably a really good example that's very local for you all in Los Angeles is the writers' strike about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I was consulted and I gave them the process that solved that strike quickly. As you know, they were in 2008. They'd been on strike for 3 months and they hadn't had a contract in a year. And nobody was getting new material on TV. Right. And Ari Emanuel gave me a call. Ari, as you may know, is the brother of former White House Chief of Staff Rahm. He's probably the most prominent agent in Hollywood. And he is the role model for the agent on Entourage.
Mm.
He gave me a call and asked if I could help out. And so I got on the phone with the chief negotiator for the Writers Guild and a few other people. And they were having a meeting that week with the studio heads and representatives, and they wanted to know advice about royalty rates and longevity of contract and so forth. And I told them to forget about that stuff. It was the logic and the facts wasn't important. I said, go to the meeting and ask the studio people, are you guys happy?
Mm.
We're not happy. Mm. And then ask them a second question, which is, are you guys making any money? And tell them, we're not making any money. And then say, if you guys had to do it over again, how would you guys do it? It took 30 minutes to restart the negotiation. It took 2 days to get an agreement.
Wow, that's amazing. So and that's after 3 months.
And that's how the writer's strike got solved. And right. There's two things I can say about this. And one, it's not rocket science. And two, unless you already know how to do it, it's invisible.
Right.
Which is the tapping into the pictures in their heads, finding out the kind of things, what their hot buttons are. It's so much more important than any collection of facts or evidence you can possibly muster. If you don't mind, let me give a more pedestrian example.
Sure.
People don't face the Hollywood strike every day, but they do face travel.
Right.
I had a kid that came, a former manager who was a kid when I taught him, came up from Houston to Philadelphia on an airline. Flight was 4 hours late because of the snow. The rest of the passengers were snarling at the gate agent and the airline personnel. And this manager realized that wasn't the thing to do. And so he apologized to these airline people for everybody else's behavior. And he said, you know, it must be a real drag to work an extra 4 hours a day.
Mm.
And when he got off the plane, they gave him $600.
Wow.
They gave him a full refund on his ticket because he made the connection,
right.
Which means the right answer to the statement, I hate you, is tell me more. If the right answer to the statement, I want to use your competitor, is, well, what do you like more about our competitors and you don't like about me?
Right.
And those are the things that get much better deals.
Right. Mm. It sounds like it totally makes sense, you know. And you also mentioned, like, win-win, which is, you know, something that people have been pushing for a long time, does not work. Why does that not work?
Well, it doesn't work very well. I don't know what win-win means, first of all.
Right.
Sometimes I want to lose today to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's not very precise. It doesn't tell you what to do. And what I've suggested in getting more is that and I've used the anecdotes of 400 people to show this, is I want to find out what you value that's different from what I value, and I want to trade it off.
Right.
And so, for example, if you like... you might like it if I'm buying a house from you, if I bought the house sooner. You might like something completely outside the deal that I can trade you off. The CEO of a major company in Philadelphia once told me the most important thing he ever did for his major client in a 20-year business relationship was to pick up the client CEO's mother-in-law at the Philadelphia airport one Saturday night.
Mm.
So the whole world is sort of grist for negotiation. Had a guy at Google who was trying to get a multi-million dollar deal, couldn't get the deal, talked to the guy, found out the guy's daughter had computer problems. Guy from Google decided, I'll invest half a day, I'll go over to the guy's house, I'll tutor the daughter, I'll fix the computer system, and he got the deal.
Really?
And it's got
wow.
nothing to do with the, yeah. with what he did. And so, you know, what can I do for you? How much do I know about you? Do you need of what we're interested in? This, by the way, it works well at home, and I say this because my wife, we used to live in L.A. We lived in South Pasadena, mm. and my wife there and here, she loves to garden, And she especially loves to garden with me. But me, I hate to garden.
Yeah.
And I especially hate to garden with my wife. She's much too bossy. But I will garden with my wife almost any time she asks in return for 3 hassle-free, uninterrupted hours in front of the television set anytime during the year professional football game that happens to be on. So I'm open for trade. I'm trading things left and right with my wife, with my kids, with my colleagues. And your life is about quid pro quo. And if I look for things that you want that I can trade you, I can make it a much better deal. And that is a much better way to think about negotiations than what win-win might be.
Right. Now, you need to have some kind of leverage, though, right? I mean,
no.
No, you don't.
No, I don't need leverage. All I need to know is what you want. I mean, so I might say to you, you know, you have a lot more power than I do. You think I could have something from you since you're so powerful? I apologize to cops all the time when they stop me for speeding tickets. I have no leverage. I don't get tickets.
Right.
So I go into a car dealership and I say, you know, because I really love this car, should I pay an unfair price?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't need to have leverage. But what I do want to do is I actually want to give people leverage.
Right.
So my son, for example, I know he has no power, my 8-year-old son. And so I want to give him power.
Right.
I want to say, you know, you should pick all the restaurants. Or you should let your room to be a little more dirty when you want. Or you should set your own bedtime. You know why? Because now my son is in a constant debtor situation with me. He always owes me stuff.
Right.
And so now when he says that I want to do something for you, I say, well, didn't I give you stuff? So I want to actually give people power so I get stuff back.
Right.
And if I don't have much power, I want to say, well, you have a lot of power. Can I have something since you have so much power so I'll be even more willing to do stuff for you?
Right. Now, I mean, do you stand a chance? Like, you know, sometimes I go into a store and, you know, they tell you something like, sorry, that's our policy. Yeah. I mean, do you have any chance of changing their minds
there? Yeah, I want to say, have you ever made an exception to that policy?
Oh,
I don't want to fit in one of the exceptions, or I might want to say, you know, I really like this store, and I would come back over and over again if I got something from you. Or what I want to do is I want to wear something I bought at the store or carry something I bought at the store, and now I want to say, do you have discounts for people who are your really loyal customers? Don't send me away. Let me stay here and shop with you.
Wow.
And so I don't want to use the leverage. I want to make the connection. Right. Leverage is okay. Connections are better.
Right, right. Well, it totally
makes sense.
So here's
another example. Yeah. You go to a store, the TV's too expensive, you look on the internet and you say, you know, I could go to the internet and get it cheaper. That's using leverage. A lot of time you're going to piss off the salesman who's going to think you're threatening his job. Making a human connection is to say, you know, it's cheaper on the internet, but I really want to shop here. I want to save your job. What can you do? What can you do to solve this problem with me? And you might find a friends and family discount. He may use employee discount for you. He'll give you a free servicing or warranty. He'll find some way to help you because, you know, as your mother once said, and she's right, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, I think that, let's see, there was something that you mentioned there about, I don't remember it now, so I'm blanking out on that for a second. But
leverage, standards, relationship, etc.
Right, yeah. Also, you say that children are natural negotiators.
They are, as I mentioned, because they watch people more carefully. They figure out what their hot buttons are. I love you, Mommy. gee, you know, I would love to do what you want me to do, but can I have a little cookie?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so you know, you want to watch children. They're very clever, but you can do the same thing as children. I come home. I'm tired from a stressed out day. The kid is watching TV. I shut off the TV. He's watching TV again. The kid throws a tantrum. I shouldn't do that. What I should think about is when I have a stressful day, I want a drink. I should say to the kid, have you had a stressful day at elementary school? Are you trying to watch TV to chill out?
Yeah.
And so now I've respected the kid by trying to find out what the kid's day was like. And even if he hasn't had a stressful day, he's going to feel like doing stuff for me because I've respected him.
Right.
So those are the ways to deal with other people. I don't have to be a patsy. I can say this I don't want to do because it's not good for me, But by trying to make those connections, I want to get more.
Right. And finally, you mentioned something that makes sense, and that is always make sure you talk to the decision maker.
That's right. So if I call up somebody who's an airline representative or somebody at a hotel, why waste my time about somebody who can't make the decision? So I want to say, do you have the power to do X?
Right.
And if they don't, well, who does? And if they won't connect me to the decision maker, I want to try to get them on my side so they can be my representative with the decision maker. But I'm always trying to think, who's the person who can give me what I want here? And I want to constantly try to find that person.
Right. Well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, the book is pretty deep, and it's got a lot of different things there, but it's definitely covering, I think, from every angle. And,
yes, it's intended to get the four-year-old to brush his teeth and go to bed, and it's intended to get the company to make millions of dollars.
Right.
By the way, you know, your listeners should probably know, I'll be in L.A. next week.
Right.
And, or the week after next. On Tuesday, the 22nd of February, I'll be speaking at the Milken Center, and it's hosted by the Wharton Club of Southern California. And if you don't mind, people can find details at www.gettingmore.com.
Right. And that's your website there, and people can find out more about the book. And I know it's available on Amazon and other bookstores. And Stuart, thank you so much for giving
thank
us of your
you.
Time. And I know you're
a
very busy man. And congratulations on the book. And all the best to you.
And I'm looking forward to the lack of snow in L.A.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And everybody, let me mention again, Stuart is speaking at the Milken Center on Tuesday, February 22nd at 7 o'clock. Find out more at www.getmore.com. And again, Stuart, thank you so much and all the best.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Wow, man, I'd love to have a man like this on my side, you know?
Mm.
Think about it, you know? I mean, that's why I was asking him. When I went to return my Sony laptop and stuff, if I had his methods, maybe I would have gotten somewhere,
did you
know? Did you
attempt to negotiate that situation?
You know, I did, but nothing like what he's talking about,
yeah.
You know? I mean, if I tried to really get him on my side and, you know, and say, you know, because my first instinct was, well, I'm going to go on the radio and let everybody know what garbage Sony is and all that, but
yeah.
That's a threat, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get people on your side when you say those things.
Yeah, so, it's very interesting because I think what he's saying is really, he talks about those connections. I feel like a lot of that's affirmation.
Right.
You know, you affirm where that person's coming from and what their stance is or what their needs are, what their desire is.
Yeah, you acknowledge it, you know, and then you present your side of the bargain here, and you know, so. I don't know. I mean, it's
the only thing that I didn't. It's not that I don't agree with. I highly agree with everything he's saying. But when you come into interpersonal relationships and somebody's that good,
right?
They can be so emotionally manipulative because.
Right.
Because everything's a chess move to
right.
get something. It's
that's true.
You know what I mean?
And,
and it works. It's
right.
not that it doesn't work. It's just sometimes, you know, I'm just thinking like how interesting it would be to be in a relationship with somebody like that because. Whether they're parenting you or they're your brother or romantic or whatever, it's just some kind of, you know, interpersonal relationship because everything that they're doing is to get you to do something.
Right.
You know, which when you're dealing with business, that's a known fact, you
right.
know?
Right, yeah. But we do that all the time.
You, yeah, well,
thing,
hey,
you know?
Look,
that's
I'm not
why
saying,
they say everybody's
hey,
a salesman.
Listen,
you know?
I'm not saying it doesn't work,
yeah.
and I'm not saying that there aren't really good, effective tools. I'm just,
right.
you know.
No, I hear what you're saying, you know, and
you know?
I mean, that's the thing. People negotiate and sell all the time, you know.
You come home and your kid's watching TV and you really want them just out of your hair
yeah.
to go to bed and you unplug the TV or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you tell them, hey, you having a stressful day? Oh, that's tough. And you make that connection.
Uh-huh.
Is it really because you care that he had a stressful day? Or is it really
no.
one is the last in bed? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Honey, oh, you must be tired and wore out.
Yeah, but
like,
hey, if you want to get your way, you have to do that, you know?
It's just funny, though. It's unapologetic, and I see the effectiveness. I just think it's
yeah.
funny.
No, I know. But I'm definitely going to try and go to his to his thing at the Milken Center because... I mean, this guy is a Pulitzer Prize winner. You
oh,
know,
wow.
he's a bestseller and, you know, he's been doing this. He's been advising companies and people and, you know, his students swear by him, I guess.
Mm.
So, So that was a cool interview. Now, Chris, if you want to call in, the lines are open for you.
I know what Chris is going to talk about.
Yeah. So we were talking about Mubarak, and so today they decided, the crowds decided it's going to be like the biggest demonstration day. So I guess maybe something snapped in him, and he decided he's going to step down and resign. Mm. So the crowd is chanting, Egypt is free.
Mm.
Now we'll see. Now the big test comes, because now we'll see what's going to happen, because there's not much organization with these demonstrators, you know, and you don't know who's going to fill up that vacuum.
Yeah, I just reading in the Washington Post just how the concern is, you know, it's really been, well, that it's been a real resounding kind of triumph for the Middle East, as we know, and it, that without the help of the West, that it's really been from, you know, very internalized, this revolution, if you will, you know, and that it says a lot about what they want, and that they don't, you know what I mean, without it being imposed upon them.
Right.
And that hopefully moving forward, this will be an opportunity for democracy as opposed to just something that's just stabilizing them.
Right. Well, you know? We'll see about the democracy part. That's what I'm saying, you know, because it's not clear at all. That's what's going to happen. But hopefully it will, you know, I mean, that's the only good outcome out of all the possibilities here.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's so interesting. So Tunisia, and then we have Egypt. And is there anything else cooking? Like, I mean,
I don't know if there's anything else cooking. I mean, you know, we reported about Jordan a few days ago, actually, that the king let his administration go and was going to rebuild his government. So, I don't see much unrest in other countries, you know. I mean, there's a little bit here and there, but nothing like you've seen in Egypt, you know. And the funny thing is, when it happened in Tunisia, I was the first one, well, maybe not the first one, but I said that it's going to spread to the Arab world, you know. And sure enough, I don't think anybody expected Egypt, because it's the biggest Arab country as far as population or Muslim population. But so we'll see what happens. There's Chris again. Let's pick up the line. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Oh my God! You checked your magic eight ball. Said, "Oh, it's brown again."
Yeah, no, I see the phone number. I figured, it's that brown guy. Yeah.
Damn it! Go back to Rihanna. Go back.
No.
How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. We're a balmy 40 today.
Really?
40. 60s this weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, tell me about it, right?
So are you calling us about Valentine's Day?
Yes, Kara.
What do you want, Chris? What do you want? I'll put in the mail.
No, I've got a girlfriend. I'm all good. But see,
really?
She even agrees with me. It's kind of cool. The reason I put my status thing out there is because I'm tired of the guys. The pressure's all on the guys. I don't think it's fair at all. Even my girlfriend agrees on it. But we kind of celebrate every day except Valentine's Day. We make a point of it.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You get her flowers every once in a while and things like that?
I gave her 2 dozen yesterday.
Wonderful, yeah.
I was on the light rail on the way home, and I know I put a lot of pressure on quite a few guys, which to me was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, and I'm totally like anti-Valentine's Day and stuff, but the thing is that, you know, you don't want to leave the woman out in the cold either. And
no.
But you're doing it the right way. You're doing it every day. You see, I don't.
Well, yeah. Last week, I hadn't seen her for a while. Last week, I bought her a little necklace. It was pretty cheap, but, you know, it looks really nice. It wasn't gaudy by any sake.
Right.
But, you know, I've been broke for a majority of my life, so I'm used to doing romantic stuff without having to spend a lot of money. Like,
see, it's possible, Chris? Isn't it possible?
Oh, yeah. And she does stuff for me, too, you know, so, you know, it's all good.
What are some tips?
Getting some is a side of Valentine's Day. She's getting some all the time.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't know about that.
Yeah, she wouldn't know.
Shut up, Chris. You don't even know what I know. Big dork.
Oh, I've listened. I've listened, Texas girl.
Listen. But no, let me ask you. Listen, it's like choose your battles. It's like choose your battles wisely. It's like, There's the people that are like, oh, what's the point of marriage? It's just a piece of paper. Oh, why do this? Why make it every day of the year, Valentine's Day? Oh, well, let's not celebrate. We're going to be anti-establishment or whatever it is. It's kind of like, why not just have fun? And you know what? Even if you do a budget, like, why not just, you know what? Love is in the air. Romance is in the air.
Right.
Take a deep breath. Like, dive in the romance pool. Like, why is it got to be this, I can't do that. It's like Scrooge on Christmas.
But it's, you know why? It's because it's expected, you know? And I don't think guys like that when it's expected of you, you know?
Yeah, it's totally expected.
Some guys
here's the thing, and I know what you're saying, Kara, and I agree with you. We're not totally against it. I'm certainly not totally against it. I'm just not going to see her because she lives about 100 miles north of me. I'm not going to see her for Valentine's Day. Mm. So...
Well, that makes more sense.
I'm just happy to have her, so I of course, try to leave her little notes, stuff like that.
That's so sweet. And, how did you guys meet, Chris?
What's that?
How'd y'all meet?
Well, back in, this is one of my many drinking stories that you claim I have. The last time I called.
Yeah, you look like you had
back
one.
Back in October, well, Denver here, we have a lot of zombie pub crawls in October.
Oh, cool.
Ours was the first. There were about 300 or 400 people there, and there were five of us, quote unquote, humans. And she happened to walk in. She's 6 foot tall. I'm 6'6". Mm-hmm. She walked in. I noticed her, and I'm like, hello.
Wow, you get a guy.
And the rest is history.
So she's 6 feet, and you're 6'6".
Yeah.
Wow, Chris.
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't realize you're so damn tall. Second of all, you guys can have
tall.
Like MVP player kids.
Yeah.
No, we don't want kids. I have two boys from a previous marriage. Neither one of us want kids.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's good. Yeah, usually the second relationship is, I think, a lot more solid, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. Are you thinking of marriage, or are you guys just going to stay like this?
Well, we've been together, we've only been together for a little over 4 months.
Oh, okay, so you got time.
But we've talked about living in sin.
Right.
She lives a little bit distance away. It'll be about a year before we can even do that because of our contracts.
Right.
And, you know, who knows? We're in no rush.
Yeah, don't rush to get married. You know, I mean, if you're not going to have kids, I don't see the point in getting married.
No,
you know?
You know, and marriage is the number one cause of divorce.
Yeah, so there you go. It goes hand in hand.
That's really funny, Chris.
I'll be here all week, tip your waiter.
That's funny. Well, that's exciting, though.
I actually heard one other gal on your station say that Valentine's Day was the celebration of single people.
Oh, really?
Okay, that's...
Oh, that's interesting. That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It makes more sense. Yeah. But this is the first year in a long time I've actually had somebody on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, you're a cool guy, man. I wish we could meet you in person, you know,
you
when you come down to L.A. sometime, man.
I'm thinking out for the summer when you guys are warm, because right now I know you're freezing at 70.
Yeah,
we are. You'd have to wear a jacket. We don't want you to have to do all that.
Yeah. It'll probably be spring or summer. I'm planning a Vegas trip right now and to Tucson next month. And
wonderful.
Then come on down, bring your girlfriend. We'll put you all on the air.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get to meet you in the flesh.
Your kids are grown, right? How old are your kids?
No.
20 and 21. My youngest just got married.
No way.
Geez, 3 weeks ago, yeah. I'm
congratulations.
The G word. I can't even say it.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Wow, they already had a kid?
Are you? Are you?
They
grandpa?
Already had a kid?
Yeah, they've bred.
Wow.
They've bred. They have reproduced.
I know. Gray on my
like
face
grandfather
oh my
50
gosh.
Or something, right?
Yeah.
What are you, like around 50 or so? 40-something?
No, I'm 42. Thanks, man.
42. No, because I'm trying to
That's
figure
young.
Out the grandparent thing.
Are you really 42?
Yeah. I'm 42. My ex-wife and I started
very early.
Right when I went into the Air Force a little over 20 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, shoot me for making the mistake, man. But
42. No. Listen, 42.
No, I don't know you, so I wouldn't know. No, I mean, I don't know you in person, so I wouldn't know what you look like in, you know, in your age and stuff. But wow, 42, and you're a grandfather already. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It'll feel
amazing.
Better when I'm 45.
Yeah. But you know what? You're a young one, and I think it's cool. You know, you can relate to the grandkids and have a really good time.
Yeah, we're both the same age mentally.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, they live in another part of the country anyway, so I see them two times a year if I'm lucky. I try to see them two times a year.
Oh, what part of the country again? I forgot.
Well, no, I'm in Denver, but I was stationed in Utah for a while, so my youngest lives about 3-4 hours from Vegas.
Oh,
my oldest
okay.
now lives in Texas.
Oh, okay.
He's not in a rush whatsoever, thank God.
Yeah.
So.
But they're not too far. I mean, it's still pretty close. Yeah.
No.
Wonderful.
The drive to Utah is really pretty. The drive to Austin is not so much.
Yeah.
No, it's Texas driving is a pain.
Really?
Yeah.
It goes on. It's just that it goes on and on and on and on. You're like the state is
And not to knock the people, please don't get me wrong, but I'm not a fan of Texas. There's nothing there. I like the mountains. I like scenery.
Yeah.
Right. And
but there's nothing
flat, huh?
there.
I like Texas. I mean, Texas is, I think it's very, there's something beautiful about the openness and,
No.
Yes.
No, when you can
yes.
start
when
a debate.
When
there.
You can just put your car on drive, go, take a nap, wake up, and remember, you're the driver, and you're still on the same road. That's nothing.
Well, you're talking about freeway driving, and you're right. It's boring and it's long. But
okay, well, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but it's a diverse state. It's really cool. Austin's a great city. You know that.
It goes. I actually, you know what? I've met my kid elsewhere. I haven't been to Austin.
Oh, well, there
Dallas,
you go. If you went to Austin, you would love it.
Yeah. Austin's pretty cool.
But I just know I'm. It's diverse as it starts desert and it starts at 1 foot elevation, goes up to 400 feet elevation.
Right.
I'm just not into the desert. Thing at all.
Yeah,
that's okay. West Texas.
Okay,
East
well,
Texas
it's a matter of
different.
Taste. You know, we can't argue about that.
Nope.
Well, Chris,
yes, we
thank
can.
You so much for calling, man. And,
no problem. You guys have a good Valentine's Day.
Have a good anti-Valentine's Day.
You too, man. Have a great weekend, and thanks again for calling, Chris. We love
no
you.
Problem.
Bye, Chris.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, everybody, legend. He's a legend listener.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy. Now, but you've known him for a long time, huh?
No. No, it's also on Facebook, just off of Facebook.
I know, but I thought that has he been a listener of your other shows?
He
as
has
well?
Been a listener, yeah. But he never made himself known, I think, until you came along.
I just have that touch, Sam.
You do have that touch, Kara.
Got that touch.
I'm telling you.
I went out with a 47-year-old last night.
You did?
It's a fucking old man.
Wow.
Sorry.
Where did you meet him?
Well, I went out last night with a group of friends and he met up. And if you guys are in LA, there's a couple bands you need to check out. One is called the LA Hootenanny Band. Mm. Hootin' and hollering. It is so fun.
Really?
They're like, there's about, I don't know, I want to say about 8 of them on stage. And they're like, you know, different guitars. And then they've got that long kind of Cajun looking south. It's like a long bass, but it's it's like a string.
Right.
It's like boom, 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 boom.
Oh yeah, I know those.
It's like and you slap it, and it's like it's like they should be sitting on the river somewhere in like Texas or Louisiana.
Is it made of like coconut or something?
I don't know, but it's just they do some modern songs that they make kind of bluegrassy, and then they do like kind of country songs, but not like country. It's more like, Oh Brother, We're Out There kind of songs, you know, like old school charm, southern, and they're just having a blast. And actually, one of the lead singers is on the TV show True Blood, and he's one of the characters on that show. But they just are so fun, and they were at a great bar last night downtown called Villains Tavern. You have got to check that place out. It's fun. They've got an outdoor patio, and it's just decorated really cool. And there are so many people. You just get up and you're dancing and you're just having a hoedown.
Uh-huh.
And it's just so laid back. It's like hoedown time.
Yeah. How did you find out about that?
Because one street over where I live is called Beechwood Canyon. It's a pretty famous road. Mm-hmm. And they had a block party this past Halloween. And the LA Hootenanny Band was there playing. We're just out dancing, and there's people out with their kids. Everybody's just dancing and having fun. And So last night was just so fun. LA Hootenanny.
Yeah. So where'd you meet the 47-year-old? That's what you didn't
tell us. I've met him a while back at
Impala. Oh, so you've known him. It's not someone new.
Well, it is kind of new. Mm-hmm. I met him recently. He's, And I met him. See me try to figure this out. I don't want to say I met him at a strip club because that's just too honest. No, I'm playing. It wasn't a strip club. No, we met at a little pub, a pub at my house.
Okay.
And he's just a cool guy, really, really cool guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is 47.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make him bad.
No,
bad
it's
person.
Not his fault.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you like him older, so what the hell?
I do. I just don't like him to get older than that. It's like the problem is,
yeah,
is that
stay young.
It's the problem is that they're gonna keep getting older. It's one thing
we
can just
and so you will. So will you?
I know. It goes both ways, I guess. But I guess they'd like to freeze frame me in my 20s, and I'd like to go. Okay, you've reached you're tapping out at this age. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good age on a man, but it's just you know.
Yeah. Well, you're reaching the big 30 next year. When is your birthday again?
It's in November.
November, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not there yet, so
right.
Just stop with those
Yeah,
words.
We had it recently. That's right, with the cake and everything.
Yeah.
The cupcake.
Yeah, they brought me this big-ass cupcake with 3 feet of frosting, and I dove into it.
And you were eating it, and all your face was full of frosting.
Yeah, I was like, it's not going to eat itself. I'm going to – you can't bring that to me, bring it around me, and not me not, you know.
Yeah.
You know, go to town on it.
Yeah. I know. I don't know why my phone is like buzzing nonstop. Did you notice that between 10 and 11, I probably get the most phone calls that I get all day.
And people just don't know you have a show?
No, they don't have a show. I mean, they don't know, and that's fine. You know, I mean, it's people I do business with and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, why does it always happen? I mean, everybody calls between 10 and 11. What the hell is going on there?
Mm.
You know, must have like 10 calls there now.
That's crazy.
But yeah.
Why don't you put it on your voicemail or something and be like, stop calling me this time.
Nah, I keep it on vibrate. Otherwise, I forget, you know, and then the phone would ring and
yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Hey, I told the valet guy today, I said, he was parking your car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, just take it for a spin. Tell me how to go run some errands. He's like, oh, Kata, you're crazy. Oh my gosh, he'd kill me. And I said, yeah. Nah, he won't. He'll be fine with it.
He makes me crazy,
really?
This guy.
He's so sweet.
I need to tell him something. Man.
No, you're going to say it mean. You want me to say something to him?
No, don't. I think anything you say, it doesn't matter how you say it, he's going to be hurt. So
yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Well, maybe just say, hey, I'll park my car from now on. Don't worry about it.
Really?
Just say, hey, I got it. I like to just relax and I'll park my own car. But thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just do that and park your own damn car.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. And then he's going to leave me alone.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. Say, hey, I'm going to start parking my own car. I really enjoy relaxing in it for a bit and just hanging out. But thanks anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, because he puts pressure on me. He runs. I see him in the rearview mirror. I see him running to my car.
Uh-huh.
And then he just stands out by the door. You know? And you know how sometimes they even try to open your door for you, but it's still locked. So, I don't know. I never liked valet parking.
Yeah.
And the people that do it.
Mm. Well, you know what? I know that he's just trying to do a good job.
Mm. Yeah. No, I do know that. Now, did you notice, did you hear who is thinking of running for president is Donald Trump?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
please.
He was on Piers Morgan the other day.
That's got to be just a joke.
And, but you know what? A joke, you know, but the thing is that he knows that people know him. You see, in politics, it helps a lot when you're known.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, often people win just because people know them more than the other people. And, you know, and people are enamored with people that make money. If you remember, we had Russ Perot, who knows how long ago. And, you know, also people thought, you know, if he made money, then he would be good. We had Meg Whitman running for governor here, and she was the same way. So people think that business people necessarily make good politicians. I don't know about that, but it remains to be seen. He says he'll announce something before June. So,
Well, we'll see. I mean, hey, Arnold did it.
Yeah.
Donald Trump just does not seem like a compassionate, caring person. And not that he isn't. He just doesn't he just seems very extremely money motivated, which is his image.
Right.
And, you know, that only goes so far.
I don't know if you want compassion in a president, you know.
You do. Toughness. You want to, I mean, hopefully you want somebody that's well-rounded, ideally. You want somebody that has negotiation skills, leadership skills. You know, defense skills, and you also want them to have, you know, a heart for humanity.
But don't you think he'd have to be all these things in order for him to be successful in business? You know, you can't just treat people like shit and become famous.
Well, I'm sure at some point he's had to really use that, but then after a while, money speaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
After you make a certain amount and you've gained a certain amount of, you know, notoriety and stuff. You just kind of buy it. You buy it. You buy a lifestyle. And I'm not saying he is that way. I'm saying that's his image.
Right.
And I don't think for presidency that it would, you know.
Yeah. But I think he would have to learn how to negotiate well, huh? This guy would, anybody else.
I'm saying I think he's probably already, you know, I'm just saying he probably has a lot of skills, but it just sounds like, do you trust that this person, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know that I trust him, but what can I say?
Well, what can you say?
Yeah. So, any big plans for the weekend?
This is like my Monday, so I start working.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going out. I went out these last couple of days.
Okay.
And so, I'm working till Monday.
Cool.
Till Tuesday, basically.
Okay.
So
well, I'm hoping to maybe take a couple of days off this weekend.
Are you doing anything for your wife, sweet?
We'll see. We'll see about that.
Well, Denny's.
It's kind of late to buy flowers now because they're so friggin' expensive. But yeah, we'll do something, I'm sure. I don't know what, but we'll do. We'll
put
do
a little
something.
Work into.
I wish I could cook, you know, and then I would make a romantic dinner or something.
You can download a menu, a recipe, and then you just have to do it.
Or just order it from somewhere, you know.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah, that's true.
What's her favorite food?
I don't know. I don't think we have favorite food.
Really? I think that Italian's a really sexy dish, sexy food.
No, that's true. I mean, we do like Italian, but, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway, I might take a day or two off and go out of town or something. So we'll see. But at any rate, everybody have a great weekend. You too, Kira.
You too.
Don't work too hard.
I'm not. I'm not going to.
We'll see you all on Monday.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.